Open your Bibles, if you would, Exodus chapter number 32. Exodus chapter 22. When we get here, Moses is up on the mount along with God. God is writing, taking his finger, writing upon stones. He's writing the law that Moses is going to bring down. Now let me say this. Three times we find God writing in the Bible, writing on things. We find him writing here on the stones. We find him in Daniel chapter 5, writing on the wall. Then we find him in John chapter 8, stooping over and writing in the sand. When God writes something, he's got something to say. It has meaning. And so he's alone with Moses up on Mount Sinai, and he's giving him the law. People are getting restless. Now, think about this a moment. They're getting restless. They're looking for something to do. The Bible says that Sister Sodom was full of pride, fullness of bread, had abundance of idleness. Some people say, well, I'll be glad when I've got nothing to do. But I believe when you get where you got nothing to do, you get yourself in trouble. God, if he's left you here, he has a purpose for you. He wants you to be doing something. And it's our jobs and responsibility to try to find what God would have us to do. Let's begin reading in chapter 32 and verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as this Moses, now I want you to notice that, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wrought not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their first hand, and he fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now let me say right here just a moment. In a little bit, Moses is going to come down. God's going to tell him what's going on. He's coming down. And Aaron lifts on to God like the people wanted it, and they threw their earrings in there and it just come out a golden calf. But here the Bible tells us that Aaron took great pains in molding this, engraving this. Look on, if you would, in verse 5. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow, and they offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to what? Play. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now skip on down, if you would, down to verse number 25. And when Moses saw that the people, he'd come down off the mount, and the Bible says when Moses saw that people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. And Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Now, we're going to stop there, but what he did was he sent them out, and they slay certain individuals within the camp. 3,000 people died that day. God sent a plague for what they had done. Aaron, he was out of place. He was not at the place that Moses had left him, told him to tarry there, and he was out of place. Moses did not get the ability, or Aaron did not get the ability to lead the people, neither did he get to go into the promised land. The elders, they did not get to lead as well, the 70 elders, nor did they get to go into the promised land. Now, look back, if you would, just a moment, and I want you to think just a moment about this thought. What happens when we begin to play with the things of God? We play church. What happens is we begin to cheapen everything that God has done, everything that God has made. We begin to cheapen our home. God made our home where men would be head of the home. The wife would be the heart of the home. Now we have homes with two heads and no heart. We have homes that is just places to change clothes. We don't have homes anymore. And it's amazing. The devil knew when he destroyed the home, he destroyed the fabric of our nation. He also knew he destroyed the foundation of the church. We need to be very careful when we begin to play in church, play with things of God. The devil come in, he'll destroy the things that we have. We'll cheapen marriage. Marriage won't mean anything. Just giving in marriage and taking in marriage, it means nothing. The Bible tells us, as in the days of Moses or Noah, so shall the days be before Jesus comes. They'll be marrying and giving in marriage. And sure enough, we turn around, marriage has been cheapened so much. No value to it, no commitment, no working through. Our churches have been cheapened. People has no respect. Notice, if you would, they said, this Moses. They had no respect for this Moses. All that Moses had done to get and to lead those people out of Israel, you'd think that they would have been thankful, but you know what? They were ready to turn on him in a moment. The Bible tells us the age of Laodicea, the church of Laodicea, which means let the people rule. They'll have a spirit about them where they don't want to be led by no one. They don't want a leader. What they want to do is they want to rule themselves. They want to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, how they want to do it. That's what these people were doing. They were playing. They were God's people, but they were beginning playing religion, playing with the things of God, and they begin to cheapen. We begin to cheapen the singing, the music of the church. No longer singing hymns that's got solid meaning, like you've heard tonight. And by the way, I appreciate you singing for us tonight. And to hear the songs that means, it has substance. But we've turned it in to songs about everything else than what it needs to be. When we begin to cheapen our church, we begin to cheapen the Bible. And people, if they don't like what it says, they begin to make their own versions. Begin to translate the way they want it to be translated. It means nothing. But now think about this just a moment. These people, they had come out of Egypt. And folks, when we begin to play with the things of God, we need to stop. And there's a couple of things we need to remember. Number one, you need to remember where you came from. These people forgot just a short time ago, they were in Egypt, crying to God to send a deliverer. Working under the slave, slavemanship of Pharaoh. And he was making it harder on them all the time because they were being such a threat to him. And so here they were. All of a sudden they forgot where they were. Now listen, as God's people, we ought to be separate. We ought to be a different people. We ought to come out from among them, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And when we come out among them, what we need to do is we need to realize and remember where we were when God found us, what he's done for us. How many of you remember where you were when God found you? You remember where you was when God spoke to your heart, when you came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? You remember how desperate you became when God, you got under conviction of the Holy Ghost of God? And you remember what a relief it was when you got to the point where you were willing to submit yourself unto the Lord and call upon His precious name? You remember how your heart felt so relieved of the burden that you carried when you called upon the name of the Lord? I don't know about you, but when I got under conviction, I got thinking about dying and going to hell. And I tell you what, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I couldn't do anything. I was fearful of everything that's coming on. And I was thinking, what if I died? I'm so glad for that day that I got saved. Amen. Folks, when people start wanting to play church, we need to stop a few minutes. Remember where we were and where He brought us from, what He's done for us. Many of you that were saved, I know some of your testimony. You're saved and you're sitting here with your children because of what God's done for you. He's done something through you to your children. That ought to mean something to you. That ought to be a blessing. To be able to see your children in church, serving God, and being where they need to be. Not only that, but when you begin to play church, you lose respect for the men of God, just like I told you about Moses, and they forget. Second of all, you need to remember about God's provisions. Not only did they forget about their past, where God brought them out of, they forgot about their provisions. Did you think just a moment? Here they begin to, when they wanted to make golden calves, you know what they got? Where'd they get the gold? Where'd they get it? Earrings, they all begin to take off bracelets and earrings and all that. Remember that? Now think about this a moment. Where'd that come from? Look if you would in Exodus chapter 3. Turn back, keep your finger there a moment. Exodus chapter 3. Look, if you would, in verse number 21. He says, "And I will give this people," talking about Israel before they left Egypt, "I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. It shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go what? Empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold, raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians." Now think about this a minute. Before they left Egypt, God said, "I've got a plan for you. I want you to go ahead and borrow gold and silver, take all the earrings and all this and spoil the Egyptians and bring that with you." Now here they are with it. Look what they've done with it. But God had a purpose for it. Look back in your Bibles again to Exodus chapter 35. In Exodus chapter 35, you see, they didn't know what God was going to do. They didn't realize that God had a purpose for these earrings. In chapter 35 of Exodus, look, if you would, in verse number 20. Here, God has given Moses the direction to build a tabernacle. Notice what he says. "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whose spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for all the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought what? Bracelets and what? Earrings and rings and tabrets, all jewels of gold. Every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord." Now, let me give you something a moment. God knew way back then what he was going to do with those earrings. He had a purpose for them down here when he was going to make a place for the people of God to worship and meet with him. Now, Israel didn't know that. But God had blessed them with provision. Now, when you go back in your Bibles, you go back to the time in Genesis, chapter 14, and Abraham had went and rescued Lot. And in rescuing Lot, he was also able to bring some treasure. And when he came back, he met the priest of God, Melchizedek. And he bent down before Melchizedek, and he offered a tithe unto the Lord. And he heard the Lord called the Lord the Most High for the first time, possessor of heaven and earth. And what it meant was that everything that was upon heaven and earth, God owned. And so therefore, what Abraham did before the law was he offered a tithe and gave a tithe unto the Lord because he recognized that everything that he had been given to him by the Lord. And so therefore, he gave it in recognition. And by the way, that's what a tithe is. A tithe is to recognize God in his rightful place as possessor of heaven and earth and recognizing that everything that God has given you and allowed you to have is because of him. It was his to begin with. He said he had the cattle on 1,000 hills. They're his. You say, I've got 30 cattle out there. They're not yours. They're his. God possesses everything. He can give, he can take away. Job found that out. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I came naked into the world, naked shall I go out. You know why? Because the Lord possesses everything. Now, also we found Jacob, that he was compelled to give a tenth of what he had at Bethel when he met the Lord. Why? The law hadn't been written. Because he recognized God as the Lord of Most High and possessor of heaven and earth. When the law was given, the tithes were committed. Then also in the New Testament, the Bible teaches us on the first day of the week in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we are to come together and as God has prospered us, we are to lay aside in the storehouse of God for his work. You see, we don't know what God's going to do with that. We have no idea what he has intended for what he's blessed us with. But if he's blessed you with it, and some of you young men, you're just now starting work. You're going out, you're going to school, you're working odd jobs. The first thing you ought to learn to do is tithe of the money that you're earning. You ought to give tithes and offerings to the Lord. Because when you do that, you recognize that. And I'm going to tell you something that God does. He can do a whole, somebody said, well, preacher, I can't do with the 90% off. You'll be surprised what God can do with what's left. Don't underestimate God. But what you do when you give and you recognize that, you recognize and you honor God in your giving. And let me tell you something. God has a purpose. I don't believe that God, Brother Barnes, I don't believe God expects the churches to go out here to the world and bum and borrow off the world to do the Lord's work. I believe when we come together, God has a purpose, and when we come and put our offerings in the church and we give our tithes and offerings to church, we ought to use it wisely. We ought to be open before the people. They ought to know where the money is, where it's spent, and it ought to be open to everybody. And here, there's an open book. Two men oversees it all. I don't touch it. I don't want it. I don't want to put my name on it. And therefore, what we do is, if you got a question, ask them. They put a receipt, a thing out every month. And let you know where your money's gone. We try to use it wisely. You go out there, and going back there, see that missionary board, and you see missionaries all over the world. It's a blessing to know that right now as we speak, we're preaching in all these other countries of the world because we're helping send out missionaries. We could not do that if you were not faithful and understanding that what God has blessed you with. You say, well, preacher, I don't make too much where I work. God knows that. He doesn't say come and give as much as the guy who makes a lot more than you do. He says, as God has prospered you, come and you give as he's prospered you. And let me tell you something. When we play church, we lose sight of who owns it all. We lose sight of where we came from, and then we lose sight of how good God's been to us. And by the way, can I say this? They wasn't hesitant at all when they made their own idols to give their gold and silver to their idols. And you know the amazing thing? Some people will fuss putting $20 bill on the offering plate and buy the best bass boat around here. And they won't bat an eye, go up there and spend $35,000 for a bass boat, and then they'll whine that the church, all they do is beg their money when they put a $20 bill in the offering plate. We begin to play church. We lose sight. We lose sight that we're God's people. And God has a purpose. And how many souls have we seen saved through the mission work that we've done? Last year we had two come through here, and both of them had seen over 250 souls just last year alone. We're not seeing that kind of numbers around here anymore. I don't know what you're seeing in Virginia, but I know what we're seeing around here. But look here. When we give it for the right reasons, God can do much with little. But what we need to do is be faithful and recognize that we as God's people. And by the way, let me just hit this. The Bible says in the last days that people will be making their belly God. If I was asked you to stop and compare how much you've spent at restaurants to how much you've given to the church throughout the year, how would that compare? I've seen people that don't hesitate a bit stop and eat a $50 meal. But they choke to death if they lay $10 in offering plate. These people didn't mind a bit to throw it in there for their idols. But listen, they forgot that God gave it to them. They came, they were slaves, they had nothing. God gave them everything that they had. But see, they didn't know it, but God was going to build a tabernacle, and he had an intent for that purpose of the gold and silver. He's way ahead of all of us. And so therefore, what we need to do is just be obedient to God. And so therefore, what we need to remember is not only our past, where God brought us from, but we also need to remember our provisions, what God has done. And not misuse the possessions that God has given to us. Sometimes the young people sing that song, we are blessed. And man, we are blessed. Anybody who's been out of this country, to third world countries, you come back and you say, we're blessed. We are a blessed nation. Amen. Last but not least, I want you to forget God's purpose. And what they did was, you go back in Exodus chapter 20, there you'll find him giving the Ten Commandments. And his word had commanded them that they were a peculiar people. They were a selected, chosen people, the elect of God. And so therefore, they were to be different. They were not to make any graven images. They were not having any other gods before them. And he had given them his word, so that they would understand that he had a different purpose for them in his life. God has a different purpose for us. Did you notice that not only were they playing whenever Moses come down, but you know what happens when you begin to play church? Moses come down and he found them what? Look back in your Bible. Look in verse number 25. Tell me how he found the people. How did he find them? You know why so many church people don't mind to be naked? Because they're playing it. They forgot who they were. They forgot what God wanted out of them. They forgot that they're supposed to be a peculiar people. And therefore the idols. And if you notice what happened was, not only did they throw the gold in there and make idols, but then Aaron began to try to perfect the idol. Not only did he go in and melt, and if he'd done like he told Moses, it'd been a lump of gold, but that's not what he did. He took a graven tool and began to work it into shape, began to try to perfect it, make it look good. When people begin to play church, they begin to try to make their sin look good. No longer is it drunkenness anymore. It's some disease of alcoholism. No longer is it a sodomite. Now they're gay. They want to make it sound good, acceptable, something that we will go along with. No longer is it killing a baby in the womb, a murder. But they try to find women's health, women's rights. Let me say this without getting much further. No child of God ought to ever vote for anyone that votes to kill babies in the womb. Amen? You ought to be separate, a separate people. Now let me close with just saying this. God expects something different out of his people. And when we get too much time on our hands, you know the amazing thing? A preacher told me this a long time ago, and I guess you probably found it too. If I want something done in the church, find somebody who's busy. You need to be very careful of the danger of abundance of idleness. You better be very careful about getting away from God, straying away from his word, losing respect for the man of God, losing respect for the house of God, the things of God, and forgetting who it was that brought you to where you are, forgetting what he has provided for you, and forgetting the purpose that he has for you. You that are saved, you are Jesus' hands, ears, eyes, his feet. When he wants someone to go, he sends you. When he wants someone to give, he sends you. When he wants someone to do, he sends you. When he wants someone to say, he sends you. And therefore, we are in the absence of his body through the Holy Spirit of God being our comforter and presence within us. We are his body. And therefore, we are to carry out his work. And we are not to lose sight. And it's so easy to get tempted to begin to play like the world and want to be like the world. Let's not forget, folks, and I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but let's not forget that we are God's chosen people, set aside, and we have a purpose, and we owe it all to him. And never forget this. In heaven, there'll be one that'll be glorified forever, and that will be the Son of God. Everything that we are and everything that we have and everything that we was, he will get full credit for it. And if we've earned anything, we'll be laying at his feet, glorifying him. So folks, let's not forget whom it is that we serve and why. And if you remember verse 26, Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? Let's make the decision. You got to be on one side or the other. Jesus said, you're either with me or against me. You're either scattering or gathering. Who's on the Lord's side? Let's stand tonight.